Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where every week you will learn the secrets to running a business without the stress. Here is your host, Angela Council.
Welcome to this week's episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where every week we learn the secrets to being in business and living a great life without all of the stress. My name is Angela Council and I'm a stress and lifestyle mentor. And this week I'm joined by someone who's absolutely fantastic. I've interviewed Danielle before and we had so much fun, so I thought I'd get her back onto this podcast because she was on my other podcast last time. So Danielle's story is she's a mentor, she's a speaker, she's a mentor. She mentors other businesses and she believes the key to success in business and life is building great relationships. People do business with people that they like. And in particular, we're going to talk to Danielle today about marketing, how you grow your business, and not doing what everybody else is doing, because sometimes what works for other people isn't going to work for you. So Danielle's passionate about helping leaders and their tribes to get that clarity of purpose in business, and she does it in a really practical way. So thank you very much for joining us today, Danielle.
Hey, it's lovely to be back. Thanks for having me, Angela. You're amazing.
So for those listeners who haven't heard about you before, can you just give us, I mean, I gave you a really, really brief bio, but tell us where you came from and where and how you got to be where you are right now, because your story is not the normal story.
No, my story is definitely not the story, normal story. In fact, I've got the E in the story, which means I've got layer upon layer upon layer of stories. I was a marketing student and growing up in the 80s, which will give you an idea of how old I am. And and I had the best fluoro leggings. And I'm so hoping they'll come back again soon.
Maybe.
I noticed midriff tops are back, so we're getting there slowly, but I can't do those anymore. So I was a marketing student and I went into marketing. I did so many roles when I was younger, you know, roles in fast moving consumer goods, I worked with kids with autism, I worked in coffee shops. I guess the really big defining things in my life happened as a result of my love decisions, of my heart decisions. And when I moved in with my beautiful husband and his three kids after his wife died, we really wanted to run businesses. He really wanted to run businesses too. And I'd done Tupperware and an Arbonne, and I'm really cool at the multi-level marketing stuff. I had a moratorium for about 10 years that I wouldn't do anymore. Because my big problem was I was really good at starting things. Mm-hmm. And starting jobs and projects and getting excited about them and then following through and finishing up and doing the hard stuff was usually where I kind of fail and bail.
Yeah, know the feeling.
Yeah. Look, a lot of the time it's not the workload. A lot of the time it's not the sales or the marketing or the collecting money. It's the mindset. And I found that didn't matter what I did, I'd get to a certain point, and because I didn't want to deal with what the problem was, and for me, it was, you know, generally a problem of rejection or a problem of money always came back to rejection. And so then I would just load a whole lot of other crap into my life, and I would fill it and fill it and fill it until I physically fell over exhausted and I have to give up everything. And so when I really worked that out, probably 15 years too late, but when I finally worked that out, I realised that I had to dig into something. So when we got out of our Tats Lotto agency, and we did that because physically, I think I remember telling you, and your listeners might remember, we got held up a couple of times, kids in the back and real safety issues. So we got out, we bailed, we lost our super and really needed to dig into something. So 20 years ago, we started this cartridge business. We started refilling, so we've done the awful refilling thing. And then we jumped into genuine printers and cartridges, and that's now 17 years. We now supply across Australia and New Zealand. And about 7 or 8 years ago, everyone kept saying to me, Danielle, how do you do it? Like, it's a really highly competitive market. It's an incredibly busy, noisy space. There's the online and the offline. There are no margins. You know, my net margin in our business on a good year is 3%. Mm. On a bad year, it's minus something. And how do you keep, you know, thousands of customers engaged coming back to you? So, you know what? It's the whole theme of my life. I got clarity. I worked out where I needed to grow. I put systems in place so that I could do it consistently and delegate it. And that's just been my thing. Get clarity. Work out where you need to go. Put a system in place to do it and just do it. Don't give up. So I've stepped out and I mentor. I think I've mentored in excess of 60 businesses in the last year. I have the pleasure of being a mentor with the Victorian government, as well as personally mentoring. And, of course, I get out and speak. So, and then I get to talk to amazing people like you.
So tell me, I really need to know, what is the secret in following through and doing it? Because I'm a bit like you were. It's like I have these great ideas, but I'm really impatient and I actually want them in yesterday. Yeah. And I think what I'm searching for is someone who will do the implementation and marketing for me, because I just want to churn the ideas out and deliver. I need someone else to do everything else. How do you keep focused?
So true. And I think that's the thing. I see this a lot. I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs that started their business because they've got great ideas and they're really good at churning out those ideas. And it's like having children. It's a grown idea churning out a baby.
Then they grow.
Oh, my God. And then they talk and they never shut up. I've got four children, three-step. Beautiful, I call them mine. I've had them, 20 years, these beautiful children, and we've got a tween and she's 15. And I tie a lot of it back to realising that you don't just walk generally, and I've had people in my world that have just walked out, but you don't just generally walk out on children, and running a business is a bit the same. I think the difference why we don't work on children, and there's two things, two really important key critical things. The first is you need to get really clear about why you're doing it. Okay. I knew I always wanted to stand on stage and speak to thousands of people on how to succeed, how to love themselves in a really practical, non-airy-fairy manner. I knew that was my why. And so when I found that 15 years ago, and it was, kind of cogitating around for a while, and they got really clear about it about 10 years ago, I knew that the Cartridge family, Tone and Mighty, Image Nation, all the brands that we have, I knew I had to make them work. Because no one was going to take me seriously until I made them work. Because if I was just going to be a coulda been, wanna be, maybe been, always finding excuses for why things don't work, who was going to listen to me? So the first thing was finding my why really clearly. Now, we do that with our kids. We know why we don't, bundle ourselves in the laundry and never come out, because we love them. Mm. And we want to leave a legacy, and because we want them to, whatever it is, we want them to achieve something, or we want to make a difference in their world. Everyone's why is a little bit different with their families. So the first thing was finding the why and tying it so that every day I got up and went, yeah, this is why I'm doing this. And the second thing, I love that you said to me, I have no patience. I just wanted to get to this point. About 20 years ago, I changed the word patience. I took it out of my vocabulary, and I changed the word to process. For every outcome, there are a series of steps that must occur before I get there. And there is a process to everything. And when you finally realize that patience doesn't exist, it's what's my final outcome and what are the steps do I need to get there? So what's the first step I have to do? Let's do that now. Let's focus on that and get that done. And then that way, because I like to have goals, I like to have something to look forward to. If I don't have a holiday or something really cool like talking to you or something in my week to look forward to, I get a little bit, itchy feet, kind of, oh, I'm bored.
So you start something new.
Yeah, I'll be really careful. People bring me the best stuff. I go, oh, that's, yep, not for me.
And I think having that, well, I call it the big vision, but having that big why makes it so much easier, doesn't it, to actually be able to say no? Because some things can be, it's like the shiny object syndrome, and I've been there before. I don't do it so much anymore because I do now have my vision. It's like when something comes to you, it may look really, really great, but if you know where you're going and exactly what it is that you're trying to achieve, you can make a decision really easily. Is this going to get me there or isn't it?
My real problem is right now. And that's, and there'll be people, some of your listeners listening that aren't like you and me. They will be the process-oriented ones. They'll be the ones that have the the husband, the wife, the person, the someone in their world that's constantly going out and trying new things and failing and bailing, and they'll be sitting there going, oh my God, it drives me insane when they come up with new ideas. For those people, I would say to them, help your loved person get really clear on why they do what they do. Get them to do a values sheet. I've got one. I'm more than happy. I'm sure, Angela, you've got one too.
Yes, yeah.
There's a process that you can do. It'll take you, you know, an hour maybe to clarify what your current three or four values are, five if you can't bring it down to three or four. And they change. So they change depending on the project you're doing. And so have values for the business, have values for you personally, and have family values. Because then when someone brings that new opportunity, you can go, is this in line with our values?
Mm.
Is this going to help us be in flow, or is this just a distraction so that you can avoid a problem? And those questions usually tend to make massive difference to success or lack thereof.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why and finding the process. Really big for me.
So let's talk about marketing. There are so many people out there who've got the marketing system that's going to make you $1 million. Everybody's selling it. Mm-hmm. And actually very recently, I'm for those people who are listening, and I know I've spoken to Danielle about this, I've got a new event called the Entrepreneurs Playdate, which is where I take women out of their businesses to play and have fun once a month. And I had a date set down, and I was doing everything that I was supposed to do by the book, all the marketing stuff, everything that I'd learnt, but nothing was working. And then one day I went, you know, here I am trying to create an event that's all about having fun, and I'm not having fun. And I went, what the hell am I trying to do? So the first thing I said was, okay, I'm going to move the date, because right at the moment I'm not having fun, busting my gut to get this done. I need to be having fun. I need to change the way I'm doing things. I need to do the things I want to do that are fun for me, not what everybody else says I should do. How do we make marketing fun so that it is effective in our business? Let's just turn it all upside down.
Yeah, marketing. It's such a dirty word for so many people.
Well, it is, because it's really hard to do.
Well, I think because it's really hard to quantify.
Yes.
And most of us in a business are results driven. We like to get a result for something. It'd be great if we could go out and market and all this money would magically appear in our bank account, or all of these sales would flow in and little sticky tickets would go, yeah, bing, there's your 200,000th customer for this year.
It doesn't happen that way, does it?
No, because marketing is such a really big concept, and it encompasses so many aspects that most of us hate at least two or three pieces of. We either hate the networking, or we hate the advertising because it costs and you don't know what's happening, or we hate the content creation, or we hate the blogging or something. There will be something in marketing, and I encourage your listeners to stop and go, okay, marketing, big word. What's the thing I constantly resist? Is it the newsletters? Is it the market research? Is it the surveying? Whatever it. And so what we do is we tend to go, well, okay, there's a piece in marketing that I hate, so therefore marketing I hate totally, because I don't want to reach. I don't want to look at that. That, like, it's like the junk drawer in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's right. Under the bed.
Yeah, the cupboard that you constantly never go to because you just think, oh my God, I just can't even face that right now.
Well, sounds like my daughter's bedroom.
Oh, I've got a great strategy for that. I really do. I really honestly mucked it up with my boys, but I taught my girls because I grew by then. And I was had such a problem with the mess that it was creating angst everywhere.
Mm.
And so I learnt that I need chaos in my life so that I can create order, because you can't have order without chaos.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. And so therefore I taught my girls, leave cups in your room, keep your dirty socks on the floor, do whatever you need to do within reason, but you must clean it up regularly, because making chaos is awesome fun. It's really cool to be able to just drop something on the floor and walk past it for a week. But you need to tidy it up so that you can go back to having fun.
That's right. That's a good idea. I'll try that.
teach them the value of order versus chaos. Now, I'm the kind of the one that might have a big Friday night, and I get up Saturday morning, go to golf, and I come home and the girls have cleaned the kitchen to the nth degree. I'm so blessed. But the same happens in in business, we're trying to think of marketing as this magical pill that will make everything clean and tidy and neat, or sales or whatever it is that bring about a result. And marketing can be quite chaotic. And I think it needs to be chaotic. I think because marketing's a conversation, we don't have structure our conversations with our girlfriends, particularly over a bottle of champagne. You know, we don't structure our friendships. We don't structure our family relationships. It's a conversation. So the key with marketing is to stop right now and go, what's the one thing that's resisting my next bit of growth? What's the one thing that's stopping me right now from having that next bit of growth? And what do I need to work on right now? Not, do I have to have a perfect marketing plan? Does that make sense?
Oh, it totally makes sense, because this is exactly where I even, you know, personally, I've been in the last few weeks. It's like, you've got to put the fun back into being in business, because otherwise, why are we doing it?
Yeah. And if what you're doing isn't fun, then make your why big enough that it's fun to get
yes.
through.
And sometimes there's things that, you know, there are things that have to get done, but make that fun to do. Because what I do now, I don't have it on now because we're recording, but I have dug out all of my CDs from the 70s and the 80s, and I play them all day long. It's all like, so that's in the background. So there are things I have to do that aren't necessarily fun, but you make it fun. And then when you make it fun, you put that fun energy into it. And I believe that you're more likely to get a result out of fun than you are out of hard work.
Absolutely. Look, there's nothing will replace the results that hard work brings. You've got to work hard sometimes to make things happen. But you can absolutely have fun doing it.
Yeah.
And for you, you and I are very similar. Music is a vibrational shifter for me. So if I can throw my headphones in and I can listen to something, podcasts motivate me incredibly. Absolutely, you know, podcasts like yours are the kind of thing, if I'm in the car and I'm not listening to a podcast, you know, I use Podcast Addict.
So do I.
Yeah, I love it because I'm, you know, obviously because I'm not, I'm sorry Mac people, but I'm not a Mac person yet. I'm working on it.
It's all right, no, I have an Android too.
Okay, so I've constantly downloading when I'm on Wi-Fi things that interest me and that, you know, my current interests. And I'm listening. Right now I'm exploring venture capital, whole new world. I just want to understand it. So I've downloaded 15 podcasts so that I can listen. And I find travelling to and from places boring because I travel in the car so much. So I make it fun by listening. So music, podcasts, those things move me. For other people, there may be something else. Maybe it's, you know, pictures, pretty pictures, or maybe it's, I don't know,
some people have dance movement and things like just doing a bit of a dance around the room,
or moving, if it's filing that you have to do, or if it's blogging, you know, maybe nature's your thing. Can you take your laptop and go and sit under a tree and go, right, not moving out from under this tree, and I hope it doesn't rain until I get that post done.
Can't quite do that today where I am now. It's belting out rain outside.
Okay, take a big umbrella.
Still looks nice with all the rain on the leaves. And
is your office a mess? Not you personally, Angela,
but
move things around. Move your table, or spend a Sunday redesigning your office so you want to be there. But change your energy.
Yeah, my office is always a mess, and I should have actually cleaned it up yesterday, and I didn't. It's still a mess.
That's a challenge for me.
Because I've got a really small desk, and nothing fits on it, so it's all on the floor, and I've got these. Yeah, don't talk to me about I shouldn't really complain about my daughter's room because my office is a mess all the time. But as you say, from chaos comes creativity.
And when you create order, then you can have a good 3 weeks of going, I'm not putting anything up, I'm just going to dump it all on the floor.
Yeah, that's what I do. Yeah, weekend, little Easter, I might be able to clean everything up. What I was going to say is the word work, to me, and I don't know about everybody else, but the word works has a real negative, heavy connotation because, you know, we've got to work hard. It's like, I don't know, why don't we just change the meaning of the word work? It just seems, to me, it doesn't seem like a nice word.
Maybe the way they call that thing, twerk, you know.
Yeah.
Stick a T in the middle in front of it and move your bum. Look, I think that's part of our generation, you know. Dad went to work and worked hard and came home. Mum had to work to pay, you know, the little extra.
Yeah, that's right. It seems like a sacrifice work, doesn't it?
It does. You know, like you go to school and you've got all that work to do. Work is a hard word. But again, it's just a word. I mean, we give the words the power.
For me, that's right.
We give power to whatever we decide. So maybe you could spend, I have a theme every year, so maybe you could spend a year or 6 months with the theme of work. And that's not necessarily saying you're going to work harder or longer hours. Maybe it's working smarter, or maybe it's those trendy concepts that people have talked about. But I'd like to think that when we truly understand something, we stop giving it power to hurt us.
Yeah.
So whether it's a person or a situation, you know, if you, this conversation and everyone's going, oh, that word work, I just, it brings me on hives when I think about I've got so much to do and not enough time to do it because it's all work, then spend a month focusing on that word work and work out what it means for you and let the power go away from it.
Yeah. And I suppose money comes in, is also another word, isn't it, that so many people have got so many issues over just the word money and the power that the word money has over people. And really, I mean, it's just, well, here in Australia, it's a bit of plastic. In other countries, it's a bit of paper. Honestly, it's like, that's all it is, but it has so much power.
Yeah, money was the big thing for me. So when we go back and I say, you know, I take things on because I had a good opportunity or because I could make money from it. Money was the problem. Money was the symptom, the manifestation of the problem. So anytime anything went wrong, it was always I didn't have enough money, or a bill would come in, or I'd lose money. And so one day I decided that I really, really needed to focus on what that meant. So I spent a couple of months exploring my relationship with money. There's a really good exercise. I reckon I bet you use it with your clients. At the top of the page, you write money is, and then you finish the sentence. It's just an automatic writing process. And then the next line, you write money is, and then you finish the sentence, and you finish it with the first thing that comes to mind, and you keep going as fast as you can without taking your pen off the paper. And if you get partway down, you go, money is, oh God, I've got no idea what it is. This is just a stupid exercise. And write that down too.
Yeah.
And when you get about towards the end, there'll be something that your subconscious will throw out. And for me, the problem was money is not for me. I'm not worthy of money, because every time I accumulated anything from the time I was 4 years old, someone would come and take it all away from me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my mum left, and then growing up, another three women left, and some of them, you know, even took the wardrobe, the clothes that I've been given from my wardrobe. You know, we've been left with one plate, two plates, two knives, two forks, you know, I kept my dad. And every time someone else came in, you know, I'd lose my dad again for a little bit more. And so my whole life, you know, my first husband, anytime I took anything to school, it got stolen because I got bullied, you know. So a whole life, anytime I got something, it would get taken away from me. And I realised in my 30s that I stopped accumulating money because there was no point accumulating because someone would take it away from me. Excuse the language, but that would... Now, when I realised that, I laughed out loud because I thought, it's so not true. It might have been true once, but that so wasn't true. No one was going to take anything away that I wasn't giving permission for. And everything changed in that moment. In that moment when I realised that.
Mm.
And you know where I got that from? A dream. That's going to sound a little esoteric. I went to bed that night and I sat down with a glass of water on the edge of my bed and wrote, okay, I've spent 3 months focusing on my relationship with money. I'm missing something. What is it? Give me a dream. I don't want it to be airy-fairy. I need it to be clear. And I dreamt that I was sitting at my girlfriend's feet and I was telling her exactly what I just told you then. And I woke up and went, oh, my goodness. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's the way the universe works, doesn't it?
It does.
You asked for an answer, you got one.
one. It took me 3 months, but I got one. So if any of our listeners, your listeners are saying, I have a relationship with money that I don't understand, commit to yourself a theme. Find out what my relationship with money is, because I guarantee you there'll be something sitting in your subconscious that'll be an old thought that you'll think, do I really believe that? And it will change everything.
Mm. Okay. Tell us how we grow our businesses. I know you've got a few growth hacks for business. Yeah. What are they? Share some of them. Share some of the things you've said you've been working with up to 60, 70 businesses in the last 12 months. What are the keys that you see that make a difference on whether or not a business is ready to move to the next level and can move to the next level, and those that are just not going to get there? What's the difference? What do we need to do?
All right, so focusing first on, let's just take half a step back for the way you say the ones that aren't going to get there. One of the things that we decided very early on was find your niche. Some businesses don't want to be $20 million businesses. They really don't. They want to be a $1 million business, or they want to be a $500,000 business, or they want to be a $2 million business. Don't feel like being successful means you have to triple it or quadruple it or whatever. You don't need to rule the world. Work out the numbers and work out, if I was going to live on $700 a week or $1,000 a week or $4,000 a month, what would that look like for me? I don't need to turn this into a $10 million business. But the clarity of the numbers is critical. I teach this all the time. Work out what your end point is and then start to work out, well, if I do this here and this here and this here, then that's going to give me that end point and I'm going to be completely happy in that niche. We tend to beat ourselves up all the time about, I need to grow a successful business. Somebody's success is so different to somebody else's. And money is a really nice way to uniformly create a plan, because the same money you earn is the money you need to spend, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, because if you and I talked about number of customers, then that's going to be different for all of us. But the money's a good way to get clarity. So first of all, get clarity. What do you want? Where's your niche? What does it look like? And if it's a great big hairy audacious plan, then write it down and get clarity on it. Don't just aim for some airy fairy star in the sky. So that's probably the first thing. And the second thing is create a relationship plan. Who's going to help you get there?
I love this.
Okay. Who is it? Is it because they say we're the sum of the five people we spend our lives with, okay? So your thumb folded in, that's your family. And they might help you get there or they might not. But generally they want to see you succeed. So what are the four things that are going to help you get to the next step? Is it a mentor? Is it a mentor like you? Is it listening to more podcasts? That's another one. Is it reading some books? Or who knows my clients? Who knows my customers? Who knows the people that are going to be the future people that are going to pay me money? Where do they hang out and where do I meet them? Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes total sense, because business is about relationships, isn't it? And one of the things I think that many women think they have to do it on their own.
Oh, yes, they do. And we can't do it on our own. We're collaborative.
That's right. Yeah, and it is so counterintuitive for women to do things on their own, because women actually do need to work with other, they need to be out there with really strong relationships, but they're trying to do it all on their own. And I don't know why, whether or not they think that men can do it on their own, so they should be able to do it on their own. I don't know where that comes from, but yeah, it's really hard to ask for help sometimes.
It is hard to ask for help because, and sometimes there's a whole range of factors of why we don't ask for help. I just think, quite frankly, we just get caught up doing, and we just don't stop and go, okay, where am I now? What's my biggest problem? Who can help me solve it? And if it's a coach or a mentor or somebody you need to pay some money to, do it short term. Take it on for, there are so many power sessions out there that you can, I know you do them.
Yeah.
Absolute power sessions, 1 hour, help me get beyond what's my biggest problem right now. And then you can work on that for 3 days or 4 months or however long it takes you to work on that. But go out and find the person that's going to help you break through that problem right now and get on and move forward to the next thing. Relationships are, I have a mantra which is very much, we don't go to work to earn money. Nobody goes to work to earn money. We don't go to work even to buy, to spend, to earn the money to buy things. So we don't go to work or run our business so that we can buy the car. We don't go to work to earn money so that we can pay the mortgage or so we can buy food. We actually go to work so that we can earn the money to buy the car, buy the food, buy the holiday, buy the house that we spend time in with our children, with our families, with our loved ones, with our friends. We go to work to earn the money to have holidays so that we can go and learn about ourselves and the world. I couldn't tell you when you travel, wow, you know, it expands your brain completely. You know, you go to work so that you can have the renovation in your kitchen or your back decking so that you can sit on a Sunday and have a drink with it or, you know, a cup of tea or an iced tea with your friends. We go to work, we run our businesses for our lives, for our relationships. And so every day we're not working, we're building relationships. And it's those relationships that reward us.
You give me goosebumps every time I talk to you.
Well, you know, I got so excited when I woke up this morning and then I'm talking to you because we share that desire to make the world a better place. And so is everybody listening. Otherwise, they wouldn't be running a business.
That's right. And that's it, isn't it? Everyone that runs a business generally is doing it because they want to make a difference, because they want to help people, whether or not it's a product business, a service business. They're doing it all from the right place. It's all coming from a heart space, yet we want to spend a lot of our time in our heads.
Yeah.
So we ignore the heart for the head, and the head's ruling when, you know, sometimes the heart's telling you different, as you say, you know, why are you really doing this? And if working, you know, 60 hours a week is taking you away from your children, you know, is that what you really want to be doing? Because you know, why are you doing what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. And you said before, you started off before and you said about fun. Well, absolutely, that if when we're working in our heart space, we're having fun.
That's right.
We're absolutely in flow. We're doing what it is that our heart wants us to do. So where are we working from?
That's right.
And the big correlation is, I think as many of us as women, we say, oh yeah, but if I'm doing what I love, I can't make money. So you absolutely can make money, but what we do need to do is it's such a simple thing. We can absolutely make money having fun, but we do need to structure it. We need to get things done and we need to ask for what we want. We need to ask people to help us. We need to ask people to buy from us. We need to put ourselves out there. You know, it's a bit like Sheryl Sandberg says, we need to lean in.
Lean in. And that's back to where you started, is having that process.
Yes.
So having the process along with your why and your heart space, putting the two together is really what's going to create a business for you that
absolutely.
You love.
Absolutely.
And make you money.
Absolutely. So one of the things when we reconnected a couple of weeks ago, I know we spoke last year and then we met at the function we were at in Sydney. And then I said something and then you came back. So we were having conversations, little conversations all the way through. And then you said, I'm going to send you a link to book for this podcast recording. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. I haven't seen this before. And then it took me to that page that you have, which is the all your booking things. And I looked at that and went, oh, cool. That is such a system that I want to copy.
Yeah, I'm totally into systems. As much as I can get systemized, the better.
Oh my gosh, I looked at that page, and if any of your listeners haven't looked at that page, go and look at it. Is it Book Angela or something? Is it?
Oh, Simply Book Me, and so that's my booking system, and yeah, it has everything on it, and because I can book everything and take payments in that through that as well. It's a great system.
I know. I looked at that and went, I want that. That is a system and a process where you've obviously leaned in, and you said, you know what, I'm back myself enough to know that. I've got a standardized pricing. So when someone says, so what do you charge? You don't go, well, not sure. You go, here's my booking form. Here's the way you book me. And you've got them all listed there and even right down to recording for the podcast. My respect for you, huge, because you went, here's my timing. Here's where I'm available. You obviously value your time that you want to have a system in place. And here's when you can have me. And I thought, wow, that's an awesome system. So when we get off this call, mentor me on how to create that.
Easy. It's easy. It is a paid system, so it's fine. I don't create a lot of things. I just buy them.
Hey, and how powerful is that? You know,
yeah, it is really because a lot of that, it's already there. I don't believe in reinventing the wheel. Some stuff I do. And you would have also completed, you did complete a form for me also, which had all your details in it. So, and I've got that sitting right in front of me now. And when you fill all that out and then we book the appointment, it makes life so much easier because I can sit here, I've got your bio in front of me. I know what topics we're going to be talking about. And it's just like, I don't have to run around like a blue-ass fly trying to make sure everything's ready. Because I'll be really honest with you, I was doing my exercise 5 minutes before this podcast went live, before this interview, because I knew it had all been done.
Yeah, absolutely. But also it gives you I love the fact that you would exercise before you take on a relationship recording. So because your energy's hype, you know, it's zinging, so therefore that comes across in your call as well.
Yeah.
I think that's incredible. Wow, I love it. I love the fact that you've set up a system so that you can be the best you can be.
Yeah, and I just have to turn up because what I do best is speak.
Is turn up. Yeah.
Turn up and speak. The rest of it, and my VA will look after everything after this. So, and that's probably the biggest shift that I've had in my business probably in the last 12 months is to systemize as much as possible, get someone to help me so that all I do is turn up and do what I do, which is speak, which is coach, is work with people. Then I don't need to worry about all the other stuff. I have fun doing what I do. I love speaking. I was speaking last week. I love that. Yeah. And you don't have to worry about, oh, has this happened? Has this happened? Has this happened? Because I know it's all happened.
My executive assistant is amazing. You know, she sends me, I have my calendar, and she sends me a piece of paper and she calls it the Danielle Skinny because every time I look at it, I think, awesome, I'm losing weight. Every time I look at it, and she calls it the Danielle Skinny, and it has everything I need to do, everything I need to wear, where I need to travel to, what time I need to be there, how long I'm speaking for, what my agenda is. One of the best things I did was outsource some of that organisation to her. She's amazing.
Mm.
And so for the listeners, because, you know, we just did a whole 5 minute all about us. Sorry about that.
That's all right. They have a little learn from it.
For our listeners, what's the biggest thing right now that's holding you back? What is that one thing? Just write it down. Write it down right now in front of you driving. Please don't write it down. Write it down after. But what's that one thing that is holding you back right now? And if you don't know the answer to how can you fix it, who does? If you spent a week asking all the influential people, ring Angela, ring me, ring somebody, I don't know, ring somebody that you know that has that good ability to brainstorm and go, okay, this is my one problem right now. How would you solve it if you were me? And then put a process in place to solve it.
And isn't it amazing? We can always solve other people's problems, but it's really hard to solve our own. So just going and asking someone, how would you solve this problem? They're going to have an answer for you that you probably didn't think of because you've got all the blocks down, can't do this, can't do that. But you'd be able to do that for them as well because they've probably got problems that they can't move forward on and they need someone else to talk to as well. It's just getting that outside view on everything because when you're searching for the answers, you just, at times you just can't find it and that just stresses you out so much.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm a bit of a serial problem solver, so that's a bit of a problem. Because anytime someone has a conversation with me, my brain's always going, well, I could solve it this way.
So yeah, I'm much the same.
but from being able to solve my own problems, I know that there's a little voice in me that goes, but you can do it for everybody else. Why can't you do it for yourself? Okay, no, I'm practicing what I preach. I go out there and I ring my mentor. I take them to lunch. I reward them or I pay them. Or whatever it is that they require as payment, and yes, cash or meals or gifts or whatever it is. The rule of thumb for me, and this is a really nice rule of thumb when asking for something, if I'm taking more than I'm giving from the encounter or the relationship or the event or whatever it is, if I'm taking more than I'm giving, then I need to do something in return.
Mm-hmm.
Usually for me, it's a gift. So Raisin brownies down here in Victoria, they'll deliver for me. La Croix, most amazing LAQUAR, the most amazing thank you gifts, lollies, sweets, treats that are hand. I can write something on a box and they'll print it. It's beautiful. Or a card in the mail or something. It's some scratchies or something. I always, if I'm taking more than I'm giving, I will always pay back in kindness or in a gift or in a thank you. And then that way I can then move on and go, great, I've got my answer. I've rewarded the other person for it. Now get on and put something into place to fix it.
Mm-hmm. And the biggest reward for them probably is also the fact that you took action on what they've said.
Oh,
because then they'll see the results.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because we've all got that person in our life that does all the time and doesn't do anything about it. You know, it's that person does exist.
That's right. So
don't be that person. Don't be Jane. You know, that stick figure, Jane the stick figure. That wasn't for anybody named Jane. All the Janes in my life are amazing. No, you know, like the Be Like Jane.
Yes, Be Like, yes, I know who you mean. So we could talk forever, but we probably do need to wind this call up. So just before I go, I'm going to ask you, who is your celebrity crush and why?
Ooh, I so don't guru. Which is a real problem because I don't have an answer to that question. I just don't do guru. I don't tend to, you know, I love what the Dalai Lama says and I love reading stuff. But right now, apart from you, my favourite podcaster, the person that I can't get enough of right now is a podcaster in the States called Jacob Morgan. And he runs a podcast called The Future of Work. And he interviews the top C-suite executives throughout the world on how they manage their business, their lives, their people, because work is changing. Australia's a little bit behind. We're getting there. Come on, guys. But in terms of flexibility for employees, in terms of job sharing, in terms of some of the coolest ideas about growth and people, I just can't get enough of him. So it's Jacob Morgan. There you go.
You need to go check him out and find out what the future of work is. And I agree. I mean, and even business is changing. The world is in such a place of change right at this moment. And in a way, it's so exciting, but it's also a little bit scary because I don't know that we've been in this spot before, and we don't really know what the next step is because, you know, now that we've got so much technology that can do things, it's like, so what's left for humans to do? I mean, we can enjoy life, but, you know, what's left? Because we can almost outsource just about everything to some type of bit of technology. But that means that leaves us as humans so much potential to do things we never, ever thought we could do before.
This is the most exciting time in history to be alive. I mean, we can answer almost any problem that we have. We can access and have so much fun in so many channels. We're free to be who we want to be. We don't have there is so much freedom. There is not the big brothery kind of, I guess, I don't know what's coming, but we're still free to be human and the world is focusing on love.
And relationships, that's what I was going to say, I think relationships is going to be the new thing. It's really, at whatever level we're talking about, you know, business, life, work, everything is going to be about relationships.
Absolutely. Very exciting time to be alive.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us. Now, where can our listeners find out more about what you do, who you are, all that type of stuff? Give us your website, everything you've got.
Oh, everything. Okay.
Goodness at all.
You can find me everywhere. MillionDollarRelationships.com.au is my website. There's a W, is MillionDollarRelationships.com.au. I love to connect on social. So you can find me on Instagram, Danielle J Story. Story's got the EY. But really what I'd love to do is I'd love to connect on LinkedIn, but send me a private, like a message, a little personal message when you do connect. Because I'll only connect and say, hey, I met you through Angela's podcast. Can we continue the conversation? Because LinkedIn's, I'm very passionate about the connections on LinkedIn. Naturally, Facebook, Twitter, let's have a whole lot of fun. And you and I, Angela, and your tribe, we can keep the relationship conversations going.
And you've got a group over on Facebook, don't you?
I do. It's called Relationship with Self.
Yes, and it's a fantastic group.
Thank you. It's growing, it's evolving. So facebook.com/groups/relationship with self. And it's all designed to expand the mind a little, like we have this recording.
Have the conversations. Well, I want to thank you for joining us, and I want to thank our listeners all for tuning in. And I always love speaking to Danielle, and I hope you guys have all loved listening to the things that she has to share, because she's got so much to share. And if you love this episode, or if you've got any questions, please pop over to the website, www.angelacouncil.com, and leave a comment, ask your question. I'll get the questions passed on if you've got questions. If you love the episode and want to hear more of them, then pop over to iTunes. If you have an iDevice or Radio Stitcher, if you're on an Android, subscribe to the channel, leave us a 5-star rating, because I love those 5-star ratings, and let me know over on iTunes what you think of this podcast. Until next week, when we're going to be talking more about healthy, wealthy and wise in business, I'll see you later. Infinite love and gratitude. Bye for now. Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business. I hope you enjoyed it. Why not pop over to my website, angelacouncil.com, and do your stress quiz to find out how stress is affecting you in your life. Looking forward to speaking to you again next week. Bye for now.